Opening tick, and I'm sure everybody's going to be very interested because Ron doesn't really believe in governments, from what I gather. Is this true, Ron?
Man, that's not quite true. I do believe that the government has certain roles. They're there to protect individuals, protect our rights and protect our property, and apart from that, I'd agree, nothing much else. Where things have gone wrong is, of course, they've stepped out of bounds and they're getting involved in all aspects of our lives that should best be left to ourselves.
Such as what?
I believe in West Australia they're involving themselves in frivolities such as the insurance aspects and things like that, which I believe that's just a role for competitive free enterprise. Let them cut each other's throat and give us the best deal, but there's no real need for governments to get involved in some of these business enterprises.
Do you think it's just a way to make revenue for them and try and cut out the free enterprise people?
I think it really goes beyond the politicians. It goes to the bureaucrats who are very famous for their empire-building ambitions, and this is the way it grows. It's very hard to bring any discipline upon the bureaucrats because most of them are, as we know, unsackable. That's something that that doesn't apply to any of us because we're all very sackable. And they're really a sort of protected game, more or less, and they take advantage of this to a great effect.
Well, now, this you're saying that really governments are getting into things that should be free enterprise. What about a socialist government? How do you feel about them?
Well, such as we have in Australia.
Hmm. I mean, in parts of Australia.
Well, they're pretty much... it's pretty much widespread. We've got socialist governments in Canberra. We had one, and we have one again. And this is why our money is being virtually destroyed by the printing press actions of them. Once again, there's no discipline, as there is in other countries, preventing the government from printing money above and beyond what's matched by our increase in productivity. This is why we have inflation in Australia, although the politicians like us to believe that it's greedy unionists or greedy businessmen. It is really only government that creates this inflation. That's why our Australian dollar is really the fourth weakest international currency in the world, and that's a terrible thing.
It is, but don't you think, as well as the government, a lot of the people of Australia are utter blame too because of the low productivity? I mean, it's okay to have high wages and a lot of money, and if there is a high productivity, you can do this, but we don't have a high productivity, and that boils basically down to the average workers, as far as I can see.
You know, that's the cause of the government involvement. It's the result of government involvement. It's not the cause. Whilst inflation is there and high taxation is there, we'll never really have the rewards going to the right people. The wrong people are getting the prizes, which is terribly unfortunate, and it's compared with other countries. I'm on my way overseas. I'm writing an article for an overseas magazine called The Alienated Australians. And I have on my list probably about 25 Australians who have moved overseas, mainly businessmen, and they've moved overseas because of the oppressive amount of government interference in their lives here. They can't do best at whatever their particular profession was. Now, they've just left. They've just up and left, and these are people that Australia cannot afford to lose. Yep, it's a great tragedy, and there are more and more of these people just about to bail out because of all this bureaucratic red tape that an average businessman has to go through.
All right, well now, I know you believe in the barter system because I have actually been in the barter system with you. I've never met you before, but I have bartered with you from state to state.
Right.
Do you believe in the barter system? Because it doesn't have any tax to it, I don't suppose you should go in for the barter system,
well,
should
it's
you,
a, it's
legally?
It's a wonderful way of avoiding paying someone to something to which they're really not entitled. And I think that one of the things I'm involved in is a bookshop, and we sell books to people, and these books are designed to help people protect themselves from our protectors. It's a real crazy thing when a government really is there to be our protector, and yet we've got to take special steps to protect ourselves from the protectors. And barter is one of the ways of doing that. Now, I don't really believe in personal income tax. I pay my way well and truly by all the other taxes, the side taxes that, that I pay through life.
And
I'm addicted to paying personal income tax, and as a result I've not paid it since 1966.
Well, how did you get away with that, may I ask?
Well, it started off in a light-hearted vein when I got a fairly large tax assessment. I said, what on earth are they charging me for? You know, when you get a bill from a supplier, you question it if you think it's too high, and that's what I did. I asked them to justify the scale of charges, and I went for about a year, and nothing happened. I mean, it must have been a very difficult question. And a year later, they sort of sent this other letter. I think they said... Well, you know, they started some sort of debate about paying it, and then it was a fairly long letter, so I just wrote back and said, thank you for your unsolicited correspondence. Please withdraw my name from your mailing list. And that was fairly light-hearted, and it really was at that time. I didn't have time to give them proper answers. Then I went for another year without hearing from them again, and I thought, wonderful. Yes. But then I got another letter that sort of said, it was a pretty blunt letter, it said, I think, go directly to jail or something.
Yeah,
that's
stop.
But still, I've got involved in a fairly long philosophical debate about whether one should finance one's own destruction. When I see most of the tax money being spent by government in doing the opposite to what they're supposed to be doing, and that's protecting us.
That does happen regularly, yes. Now, nobody could dispute that.
Sooner or later, we must protest, and there's a very wide-spreading tax revolt movement in Australia. You might see some bumper stickers around in various states that says, taxes are revolting, why aren't you?
Yeah, I've seen those.
And this is a good message, and we should think on this, because...
Yes, but then aren't you going to have absolute chaos if everyone refused to pay their taxes?
No, limited government. We are already paying our taxes with everything we buy.
Yeah, I've got to go along there. I think we're one of the highest tax countries in the world, aren't we?
You really have got to go overseas to find out how bad it is here. Mm. Now, for instance, in this, in January's edition of Reader's Digest, in every edition overseas except the Australian edition, there was a beautiful article on Australia and just what has happened with excess taxation and reduction of incentives in Australia. But they did not print that in the Australian edition, because we're very sensitive about...
Well, that's censorship, isn't it, basically, which is telling us what we're to read and what we're not to read about our own country. Well, that
we really are restricted in what we can read.
Well, what are your alternatives, not talking about tax, but say to government, what do you put forward in your opinion, Ron, and also where do you think Australia's headed if we go on the way we're going?
Well, as I said, we've got the fourth weakest currency in the world. There's only three worse: the international currencies, the Italian lira, the pound sterling, and the Greek drachma. And then comes the Australian dollars. All the other currencies are better because there's no discipline on government. They can get involved, they can do anything, they can spend as much as they like, and they can print unlimited amounts of money. And this is just, now, if for instance, 18 months ago you had have taken your Australian dollars and put them into Swiss francs at no interest 18 months ago, today you'd be 45% better off.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That is the measure of where we're going, and it's still going that way. There's no change.
Well, we'll have to watch it. I mean, it happened in pre-war Germany, didn't it, with the printing of the money. I think you were paying...
We're on the brink of that. Mm. Once we get up to 20% inflation, then there's only one way to go, and that's hyperinflation.
And unfortunately, the inflation just doesn't seem to be improving in any way.
No.
Where the other countries are mastering it.
Yep. I was asked by a finance journalist in Taiwan 18 months ago. He asked me a question. He said, Mr. Manners, in Australia, why does your government pay people not to work?
Very true, too.
This little Oriental guy just was fascinated why we do things like this. Mm. They don't do it, and they don't have inflation. And then I said, well, look, you've asked me a question. Can I ask you one? And why is it that in Taiwan you don't have inflation? He said, well, it's fairly simple. We've got a reserve bank the same as you have. We've got a government the same as you have. We've got a government who makes promises and wants to sort of be popular and wants to spend your money on being popular. But above the reserve bank is a committee of six Chinese businessmen. And if the Reserve Bank, because the government wants to print 20% more money, the Chinese businessmen say, okay, what was our increase in productivity? And the answer might be 3%. And these Chinese businessmen say to the Reserve Bank, you can print 3% more money, forget about the other 17% of dreams, because that's not on. that's what we need in Australia.
It's very interesting,
discipline.
Isn't it? I wonder if there are people listening who'd like to have a word with Ron Manners, because some of his views are a bit startling and a bit, you almost say way out. But at the same time, I can see the truth of it.
Nan, it really is not way out, it's logic.
Yes, it is logical, but I think that if we have people call in and if they want to ask you any questions, will you be happy to answer them?
I'll do my best.
Jolly good, all right.
Beautiful day, 21 degrees in Adelaide with Ken Dickon and Nan Whitcomb. And our guest this afternoon is Ron Manners, and Margaret would like to talk to Ron. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Nan.
Hello.
Hello.
Ron's listening to you there.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Look, Ron, as far as you've gone, yes, fair enough. How do you feel about the way, just take South Australia for argument's sake, they spend money on some things that really are not necessary, like, for argument's sake, the Malaysian Week, which was advertised as $50,000. It's now been proved that they've spent $150,000, if that's on paper. And today there's an article in the paper from our First Lady saying she's disappointed in our attitude towards it and said what a wonderful time they had in Penang. But that also cost $211,000, and that is a fact on paper in the government things. Now, do you think we're too apathetic about these things too?
Margaret, the answer is fairly simple, that if I'm employed by people, as our politicians are employed by us, and I have a budget of so much to spend and something like that, and I think, and if I overspend it three times, as that was the case that you just mentioned, then I can expect to be reprimanded. I might not lose my job, but I might be told, well, that's once, Ron. and that's where we've lost, our priorities are somewhat inverted here. We forget who's working for who.
Yes,
we forget the real, this public servant bit, you know, is almost a joke. They are running our lives now. We really should be running their lives.
That's right. And can I ask you something about taxation?
Please do.
I got a letter from them because they didn't, I sent in some, this is 74-75, right?
Yes.
They sent me a letter about a very small amount of $12.46, right? Then they got me in and we went all over 74-75 again. They told me that I would get money back. And they also got me to sign two affidavits to the effect of the reason why I didn't do these both these things, which I had done, which didn't arrive, you see. Now, if you sign an affidavit, am I right, and it is not accepted, you are liable to be jailed, right? If they don't accept it as a fact.
They do send people to jail for some things. Now, they don't send people to jail in Australia for not paying tax.
No,
that's okay, but they do send people to jail for telling lies.
Yeah, for perjury.
Now, you haven't told a lie, but if you've just refused to supply certain information, then they cannot send you to jail for that.
No,
because
they just scrubbed it. They got me to sign it, and then they said, oh, we don't, that's just a formality.
Okay, well,
and they're fining me $46 for it.
Now, what is the charge? Why are they fining you?
For late return.
No, I'd have to look at the specific act. They may have a point, and if they find you, that was it. But perhaps it would have been better for you to supply no information at all, because I know the tax department expects us to provide all sorts of information for the tax department. Now this is quite wrong, because you shouldn't be expected to aid and abet a thief when he walks into your home. You shouldn't have to take him by the hand and take him to which drawers you've got your valuables in and things like that. This is why we really lie down and surrender, because when these people ask us for our help to destroy ourselves, we usually give it, and this is absolutely surprises me no end.
Yeah. Well, they now have told me that I can go in again and start all over again.
What if you do? Don't cooperate with them, because that's cooperating with criminals, really, in many ways.
Oh dear, dear, that's strong stuff, isn't it?
Oh, it's got it.
Well, good luck, Margaret. Don't get yourself into too much trouble, really.
No, I'll come and
look,
get you.
Margaret, the one thing that you should remember is they don't really like people going to court, to the legal courts.
Oh,
because there's always a chance that the people will win. And this is what the taxation department cannot afford. So very rarely do they take you right to the court.
Oh, I see.
This is what I found.
I shouldn't like it anyway.
Well, it's quite enjoyable. If you've had a bit of experience in court, it's quite an enjoyable experience, really.
Thanks for your call, Margaret.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Ted.
Hello there. To Ron.
Yes, he's right there.
Good morning, Ted.
Morning. Look, I'm nearly 70, and I remember Winston Churchill a long, long time ago, probably before you were born, saying what you just said, and I'm congratulating you. And this is what I was saying about the Taiwanese way of going on. You work on a percentage, no higher.
Sure. Flat rate of tax, the progressive, as we call it, income tax, was a Marxist device that we've somehow accepted in most of our countries.
Yes, I
and it's a quite, it's quite, it's an anti-work tax to prevent people from being productive. Well, that's not the way to get our country off the ground, is it?
I remember when Churchill was saying this in 1932, that's the way that England could get out of the depression they had at that time, and they got out of it. Just exactly that way.
Good.
Oh, that's very interesting, Ted. Thank you very much for your call.
Bye-bye, Ted.
Bye.
Hi, Peter. You'd like to speak to Ron, would you?
Yes.
Go ahead. He's listening.
Pretty good morning.
You were saying that the government in Australia causes all of the inflation?
The government is the prime cause for inflation, yes.
Yeah, well, I was doing matriculation last year, and in the theories, it's caused by three different things, really. The wages, prices, and the government as well.
Yes, I do honestly believe that wages and prices are a result of inflation. They're not the cause for it. You've got to have the fuel in there to get it going, and all these other prices and wages rise as a result of inflation.
Yeah, well,
if we didn't have any inflation, people wouldn't really be pushing for higher wages. They wouldn't need higher wages as much as they do now. I don't blame people for wanting higher wages. They've got to have it to live with inflation going the way it is. Once again, prices have got to go up if wages go up. But if the government does not inflate the currency, we will not have inflation, and that is just a fact that cannot be argued with. We had a visiting Nobel Prize economist in Australia last year, Professor Hayek, and he said, "It is bad enough that your government is destroying your money." That's bad enough, but he said, far worse, your government has made it illegal for you to protect yourself against those government actions. And he had it right on the head. That's the cause. Government is the cause of inflation.
But in Japan, they have the government spends like crazy, and that causes an increase in their productivity, and that counter for their inflation.
Well, I know Japan has inflation, and that you've explained why Japan has inflation. It's not one of the best currencies in the world, and you know, they have inflation, so we can't hold up the Japanese yen as an ideal currency to hold.
No, but even so, they have their standard of living has increased a hell of a lot over the last, you know, decade or so.
Sure, they don't have the taxation rates that we have in this country. There's no reason for them not to work. There's a very good reason for us not to work.
Yeah.
They don't pay people not to work there either.
Thank you for your call, Peter.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye, Peter.
Bye.
Duane, thank you very much for coming in and putting forward your views. You've no doubt created a lot of interest in many people's minds.
It's been a pleasure meeting
I'm
you.
I'm sure
both.
You have. You've certainly created a lot of interest in my mind. Every time I do anything or pay anything, now I'm going to start thinking about it.
Think twice, that's right.
Thank you for coming
What you're saying, basically, just before we do go, you don't think people are really aware of their rights? Do you think a lot of the trouble causes stems from this?
Absolutely. And this is one of the problems when the government has taken over the education industry. We are only taught what they want us to be taught, and there's a lot more to learn, and I'm learning fast.
Thank you, Ron.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.